Turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, starting on verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea, and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him up all these things. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. I pray, Father, that you would open our eyes this morning to see and open our ears to hear. Lord, that we would understand your message, your word, what you want to tell us. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that is lost, I pray that you would open up his ears to have him to understand. Lord, and we pray that people would get saved. We pray for Christians to be revived. And above all, I pray that you would receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, the Bible says that it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. And you know, the thing is that most of us, we'd rather go to the house of feasting. The Bible tells us also that the reason for that is because this is where you will consider you're in. This is where you will take it to heart. The Bible does say also that this is the inn of all men. This is where we're all heading. From the time that you're born until the time that you die, you are on that long procession that leads to the grave. You know, in my early years growing up, I remember that I was in the house of mourning so many times. In my years, it wasn't like it is today. Today somebody dies and they take him to the mortuary, and that's the house of mourning. But when I was growing up, it was our house. On two occasions, I had two people from my family had passed away, and what they would do is they would take the body away to the mortuary, and then by that afternoon, if he had died in the morning, they'd bring him and they'd put him there in the living room. That was the house of mourning, the place of the deceased. All the neighbors would come in, and for 2 days, it was a house of mourning. It was where everybody would be crying. And if it wasn't in my house, it was my next door. Or it was two houses down. The thing is that I went to the house of mourning so many times in my lifetime that by the time I became a young man, I didn't want to be in the house of mourning. I remember as a policeman, I was counting last night how many got killed during the 20 years that I was on the force. There was a total of 15. Out of those 15, one of them used to work with me on the same shift, on the same day, the same nights. We would work together. We made many calls together. I had only been a policeman 5 months, and he was killed. And then between 1970 to 1975, 8 more policemen were killed. I used to always think I'll never make it to retirement. This is one of the reasons precisely why I encourage my wife, you need to go to college. You need to get a degree. You need to be able to teach. Just in case they would kill me, at least she would not be working at a job where they would only pay her minimum wage. That was my reasoning. That was my thinking. I didn't think I'd make it. But throughout the years, they kept on killing more policemen and more policemen. And shame on me, because I never once went to a funeral. I never once went to the house of mourning. I can make the excuse and say, well, I got tired of it when I was young. I got burned out. That's no excuse. I should have gone to the house of mourning, but shame on me that I didn't go. But you know, the thing is that this morning, that's exactly where we're going. We're going to go to a funeral. But let me tell you, even though it's a sad funeral, it's going to turn out to be a happy funeral at the end. But you know, the thing is, what we read here in the scriptures, if you start at the beginning of the chapter, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ had been in Capernaum. And he was always busy. He had started his ministry. He was always helping people out, always getting them out of trouble, always going to the house of sorrow, always going to those that were being grieved. And he had just finished helping somebody. If you remember the story of that centurion who had a servant that was about to die, the Bible says, and the Lord wound up saving him and healing him from long distance. But now he's at the city of Nain. This is the only time that you'll find this city being mentioned. This is the only time you'll see this story being mentioned. But it was 12 miles away, and the Lord Jesus began to walk in that direction. He went to that city. He knew exactly what was going to happen. But what we see also in the scriptures, the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus had a big crowd following him. He had his disciples, and he also had a big crowd following him. Now, also he tells us that right out of that city, here comes another humongous crowd coming out. They're coming on a funeral procession. The two of them meet together. Can you imagine this picture? Death met life. And after a while, can you imagine the people mingling, and all of a sudden you don't know who was coming or who was going? That's the way it is in this life. We can't tell who's really going, who's following death, or who's following life. But I'd like to ask you this morning, what group do you belong to? Which group are you following this morning? There was the group that was following death, and there was the group that was following life. I'd like to recommend to you this morning that you would follow life. But you know, it's so amazing that these two groups, death and life, had met. It reminded me of the advice that Moses was giving the people of Israel. Right before he finished giving all his exhortation in the book of Deuteronomy, which is what it is, it's an exhortation, it's a recap of everything that had happened for 40 years. And Moses is giving him the last few advice, just like a good father would give his son or his children. And he's telling them, he says, I call on heaven and I call earth this day to be against you. You know, it's always real good to have two witnesses. That's exactly what Moses is doing. He's calling two witnesses. He's calling heaven and earth. He says, I call heaven and earth today to be against you. He said, I have set before you life, and I have set before you death. It is blessing or cursing. And then he says, choose life. Amen. You know, it's amazing how or why somebody would have to tell you, choose life. It's amazing that we have to be told those things. It ought to be very apparent. It ought to be very easy or very simple. Which direction do you want to go with? What group do you want to belong to? You want to belong to death or you want to belong to life? You shouldn't have to be told, hey, follow life. Choose life. That's exactly what Moses is saying. It's amazing that we have to be reminded of that. You know why? Because we like darkness rather than light. That's what the Bible tells us. But you know, I'd like to turn also to the book of Isaiah, chapter 65. You know, the Bible says that the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. Just like Moses called heaven and earth, I'm calling two witnesses. Moses already told you, choose life. I'd like to tell you also what Isaiah has to say. Isaiah chapter 65, it's amazing that it's also second to the last book. Just like it was in the book of Deuteronomy, second to the last chapter, this is also second to the last chapter. This is an exhortation. There's no confusion. God doesn't contradict himself. And here we have two witnesses. We have Moses, now we have Isaiah, a holy man of God, a prophet that he spake as he was moved by the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I want you to know that in verse 1 and 2, God is saying, behold me, behold me. In other words, look at me, put your faith and trust in me. And then he goes on to say on verse 2, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a gainsaying people, to a rebellious nation. But you went on to do whatever you wanted to do. You didn't do what delighted me. It's an amazing thing that these people, after so many years of being warned and being told, after so many years of seeing the miracles of God, they're still having to be told to choose life. But look what he says. This is the conclusion on verse 12. He says, therefore will I number you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I call, you did not answer. When I spake, you did not hear, but it did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that which I delighted not. You know, it's amazing that God called. You know, when God calls, he expects an answer. You can't go through life just playing possum. You can't go through life just saying, well, if I don't say nothing, if I just keep quiet, nobody will see me. When you stay quiet and don't say nothing, you have chosen death. That's what the Bible tells me. But the Bible is saying here very plainly, choose life. That's what these people, they heard the call. They didn't want to answer. They wouldn't want to hear. But Isaiah is telling them very plainly, but you chose. You chose that which I delighted not. And that's exactly what happens to people. You decide to stay quiet, not to choose the Lord. Obviously, the Lord believes that you can choose. Obviously, Moses believes that you can choose. And obviously, you don't matter how dead you are, the Bible says that you can hear.
Amen.
When you were being called, he says you refused to hear. You didn't want to answer when I was calling you. But you know, the thing is that that's what life is, my friend. Life is full of funerals. It reminds me also of the people of Israel when they came out of Egypt. You remember when they only had 11 days to go to the promised land. But they were so rebellious that God had to get them to walk for 40 years. And for those 40 years, God had told them that everybody over 20 was going to die for being so rebellious. They wanted to choose darkness rather than light. Even though they could see the miracles of God, they could see the pillar of fire, they could see the cloud by day, they still wanted to follow darkness. And God said, okay, then you're all going to die. You will not enter into that promised land. So what do you have here? You got the longest funeral procession known to man for 40 years. How many were actually being buried? I calculated it one time, according to the scriptures, the number of the people that had to die. It was approximately 43 people a day, approximately every 30 minutes. Can you imagine? They probably had all the people already digging the holes, because every 30 minutes you drop somebody in it. What did you see when you look back? Nothing but graves. And that's the way it is in this life. From the time that you're born till the time that you die, you're on that funeral procession. You're on the way to the grave. We all have a date to meet. We all are going in that direction. And that's exactly what I see here. 40 years on a funeral procession. But go back to the text. Back to Luke chapter 7. You know, one of the things, there's several things I'd like you to notice about this funeral procession. And the first thing I want you to notice is that the Lord called this man a young man. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm already 60 years old. And if I would die today or tomorrow or anytime soon, I can say right now, I've been there, I've done that. I've accomplished a lot of things in my life. And I can say, you know, as a young child, I remember I always had that desire to one day be a champion of the world in something. I didn't care whether it was marbles or whether it was playing with tops. I just wanted to be the champion. One day I wanted to be a champion of somewhere. And I received many trophies in different sports. But you know, the thing is that I finally realized I'm just too short and I'm too slow. But nevertheless, after all these years, I can look back and say now, I'm doing the greatest thing any man can do.
Right.
You know, everything in this life, the Bible tells you in Ecclesiastes, that everything that you do in this life under the sun is vanity.
Right.
Everything in this life one day will burn. So it doesn't matter how many degrees you have, or how big of a house you have, how big the car is, or how big your account is. It doesn't matter how many toys you have. Everything is going to burn.
That's right.
But you know something, my friend? The only thing that's really worth it is the things that you do for the Lord.
Amen.
The witnessing that you do, the preaching that you do, the money you give for missionaries, the things that you do for the Lord. The Bible tells you very plainly, he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
And one day you will shine as the brightness of the firmament. And that's exactly what I have been doing for many years. And I just thank the Lord that He has given me that vision. He has led me to see what is the most important thing in this life. Everything under the sun is going to burn. But the things that you do for the Lord are going to endure.
Amen.
But the thing is, you see, I'm old. I'm 60 years old. Brother Kincaid always saying that he's got one foot in the grave and one in a banana peel. I feel the same way. I just think he's leaning a little bit more than I am. The thing is that you really don't know when you're going. You know, even though you might be very young, you could go today. You never know. The Bible does say, God says your day is always ready. Your hour's always ready. So you could go at any time. It's very important that you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sins. But you know, this young man, he hadn't done nothing. He was just beginning. He had just started the race. He just began to put on his armor of God. This guy had not accomplished. All his dreams were shattered. All his hopes, all the things that he was planning on doing, everything's gone down the drain. And that's how it is in life many times. Just when you're really planning to really do something in this life, things are shattered. Disease comes. Tragedy comes. You never know. You have to always be ready. But you know, I thank the Lord that I've been saved for a long time. I thank the Lord that my treasure's in heaven. Amen. I thank the Lord that I have been sending some of my treasures to heaven.
Amen.
But I feel sorry for those that are cut short, that don't have a chance to see a grandchildren. You know, I'm so happy. I love all my kids. I love my grandchildren. And that's why I feel, you know, what else is there for me to do or say? I've done it all. And if the Lord allows me to stay longer, that's fine. But if not, no problem. Let me tell you something else about this funeral. Besides the fact that this man was young, he was an only son. And you know, the thing is that some of you have children, just like I've got four. And the thing is, if you would tell me which one would you cry the most, which one would affect you more if they would die, I would tell you each one. They're all special to me.
Amen.
Every one of us that are parents, we all have children. And if you have several, you feel the same way about each one. Every one of them has a special place in our hearts.
That's right.
But you know what the Bible tells me? That the only child and the only son, or the first child and the only son, it brings more bitter lamentations. This is what God says. I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to believe God. He tells me also in the book of Zechariah chapter 12, when the Lord returns and the people see that Jesus Christ is God Almighty, he said they're going to cry like somebody cries over the only begotten son. They're going to cry like the first son. So this is why I know. And of course, the book of Jeremiah, it also tells you in chapter 6 that the only son brings the most bitter lamentations. So that's why I know. But I want you to also know one thing, that we love all our children. But God is the one that says that this is what this lady was going through. This was her only son. I want you to know something else besides that. Let me read to you verse 13. Luke, verse 13. He says that when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. You know, it's amazing, but you see that throughout the scriptures, the compassion of Christ. Or you're going through some troubles this morning, or you're going through a valley. Have you fallen into sin? Or you're carrying a heavy burden that nobody knows? I want you to know that God has the answer. God is telling this lady, weep not. He had compassion. You know, when you look in the scriptures and you look up the word compassion, you know what you find? The Psalms says 5 times he was full of compassion. My God is full of compassion. He never tells you that he was only half full of compassion. He doesn't tell you that he was almost full of compassion. This means that he was full of compassion all the time. Compassion just flew out. Mercy went out. His mercy endures forever. So that's what we see. And when you're reading the New Testament and you're reading in the Gospels, you know what you see over and over? You see that God, Jesus Christ, was moved by compassion. On 5 occasions, the Bible says he was moved by compassion because he was constantly going from house to house, constantly going to trouble after trouble. And we see it in the scriptures also that in Isaiah chapter 53, he was a man acquainted with sorrows. That's all he did. He just went to all the troubles of men. He was acquainted with grief. He was the man of sorrows. So you know, the thing is that if you're going through troubles, if you have problems this day, I recommend to you the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the one that can help you. I also want you to see another thing. When he saw this lady, he told her, "Weep not." You notice that he didn't say, "I offer you my condolences." That's what you and I would say. But the Lord has the remedy. He is the God of the resurrection. He is the resurrection. He says, "I am the life and I am the truth.
Amen.
You need to come unto me." That's what he says. "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The thing is that in Isaiah 53, it tells us very plainly that he was the man of sorrows. It tells you also that he was acquainted with grief. But you know what it also says right after that? He says, "And we hid our faces from him." What a shame. Why would you hide your face from him? If he's the one that can bring you comfort, if he's the one that can alleviate your sorrows, if he's the one that can bring joy to your heart, why would you want to hide from him? Why don't you just come to Jesus and let him take away all the sorrows? He says, "Weep not." You know what I see also in here in this story? I see also that this young man, when the Lord came, he stopped the funeral. The Lord put the hand on that casket. He didn't even have to say to stop. They just stopped. They weren't going nowhere. And then he addressed it strictly to that man. You know, many times it has been said in this church that if he had not addressed it to the individual, then we would have had a general resurrection. That's why when he called Lazarus, he called him by name. That's when he called the maid, he says, "Maid, arise." And here we see him doing the same thing. He says, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." This way only one person's arising. But let me tell you, pretty soon we're going to hear the trumpet sound. And it's not going to be just for one individual. It's going to be for the whole world. All of those who belong to him. All of those who have been saved and have gone on to be with the Lord. And all of us who are still alive, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
We're waiting for that general resurrection. But I want you to know that this man, when the Lord Jesus told him, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." I want you to know that this man arose. He got up, he stood up, he began to talk, and I want you to know that this man was double dead. He was dead spiritually, he was dead physically, and I want you to know that he heard the word. Don't tell me that when you're so dead in sins and trespasses that you can't hear. This man heard it. You have no excuse. God calls you. It's up to you to make a choice. This guy stood up quickly. God didn't get him up. He didn't tell the others, "Help him get up." He didn't tell the mom, "Can you please pull him out?" The guy stood up. Everything stopped. He heard the word. He heard God calling. And that was all. You have no excuse. If you don't hear, it's because you selectively turn him off. Because he plainly tells you that You didn't want to respond. He says, "I called and you didn't answer. I spoke to you, you didn't want to hear." Instead, he says, "You chose that which I delighted not." Why don't you choose that which delights the Lord? Why don't you choose on his Son? Why don't you choose the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what the Bible is telling you over and over? Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He's not calling you in vain. The Bible says in Isaiah 45, he says, "I do not call in vain." He's not calling you if you can't respond. He's calling you because you can respond, but it's up to you.
Right.
What are you going to choose this morning?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. The Lord would love for you to choose him. He already did everything that needed to be done.
That's right.
That's why he constantly calls you. And throughout the scriptures, he told Jerusalem right before the crucifixion, he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you? Just like a hen gathers her chicks and you would not. You know what that tells me is that people chose not to follow the Lord. They chose not to answer the call. The Lord is calling you this morning. Don't say that you can't hear. God is calling you. The Lord Jesus Christ is calling you. He already did it all. There's nothing you can do. He already paid for all your sins.
Amen.
He offers you free life, eternal life. All you have to do is say, Lord, I repent of my sins. I put my faith and trust in Thee. I know that You died for me and that You rose again for me. I know that it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all sins. Why don't you say that this morning? Don't be continue to play religion. Even though those two crowds met together, and pretty soon you wouldn't know who was coming and who was going. You couldn't tell who was with life and who was with death. That's the way it is in this life. We don't know who's who. But I'll guarantee you the Lord knows. And the Lord is calling you this morning. He's telling you to stop playing games. The Lord is coming soon. And He's not going to take you just because, well, you used to go to church. He's not going to take you because, well, you used to speak the right words. He's not going to select you or pick you up and take you to heaven because, well, you're carrying a Bible. We're not asking you this morning, my friend, to sign a roll. We're not asking you to enroll in this church. We're not asking for membership. All I'm saying is turn your life over to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is God Almighty. He is the one that went to the cross. He went to the cross because you couldn't pay for your sins. He had to pay for your sins. All He requires of you is your heart. All He wants you to do is repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him. He already did it all. It is the blood of Jesus Christ which cleanses us from all sin. Don't say no to the Lord this morning. We're going to stand up and sing 249, and the altar is open. If you know that you're not saved, and you want to get saved, why don't you come forward?